Here we go. We're in the Rambam Hilchos Tumas Hameis Perek Yud, Halacha Yud Aleph, Chapter 10, Law 11. Okay, now we're going to talk about the issue if you walk through a Beis HaPras. That was the question that's been on your mind since we've been doing this. Everything you want to know about walking through a Beis HaPras will be answered. Remember, let's quickly review. A Beis, what Tumah exists in a Beis HaPras? Only
Masa and
Maga. Touching
and carrying.
And moving. Moving. No Tumas Ohel. At all.
Yeah.
Okay, so now if you're walking through a Beis HaPras, what would be the issues? Let's think about this. How could you? You can't be tummy just by walking. Let's say you were flying over a Beis HaPras.
Yeah, that's...
You're levitating.
No problem.
Would you be tummy?
No.
So now, even if you're walking, you're not necessarily going to transgress unless what happened? You're kicking up some dirt. What if you have twinkle toes?
Twinkle toes?
As light as a feather. As light as a feather.
Is this from the Flintstones? I think it was one of his...
Whatever. Anyway, so this becomes the issue at hand. So let's take a look over here. Very fascinating halacha. Hamahalech b'beis hapras. A person is walking across a beis hapras. Agabi avarim, atapos. Now remember, there's something called pavement. You may have heard about that new invention. Right? A Beis HaPras is not necessarily just a bunch of loose sand. You could have, someone could have easily have erected a nice little pathway made of nice big stones. And he's just walking on the stones across the pathway. That's a possibility, right? But if he goes on top, so she'ein misnadnim tachas ragle odom v'shosh shemachon, they don't shake or move.
They're solid.
As he walks on them, that's one example where you will not be tummy at all because there's no way you touch the barley corn. Oh, shenich naslo, he enters, v'roche v'agade odom, you're going piggyback on a guy's shoulders. Hang on, there's a lot of issues to discuss in this. Ubehem or on an animal, but there's a very important caveat. Shekocham yafer, their strength is strong. What does this mean to say? There's two ways you can be carried. You can be carried on a guy who's 6'8", 350 pounds, popping with muscles, and as far as he's concerned, you're on his shoulder, it's like a feather. And therefore, although he may be walking on the ground, he may be kicking up tuma, but your weight has nothing to do... Look, pardon the pun, has no bearing on the things being moved. So, like, you are totally ancillary to the entire thing that's happening here. So you have nothing to do with anything moving, or a horse that's gazunt. You know, Cannonero the second. Remember that one? He won the Triple Crown. Well, no, it could be a weak horse. You'll see, a weak horse, but strong, a good, maybe a pony, not a good stark horse, So therefore, your being on them does not contribute any weight to any ground that might be moved. So in that case, Harezator, the fellow is Tohar in both of these scenarios, because now, let's even take it a step further. So, well, wait a minute. What about the fact that the man who's strong, he could have kicked up some sand. He could have kicked a little barley corn pebble bone. So let's think about this now. Okay, so he would be tummy, right? So now how could this guy be tar? Because if he's tummy, now he is going to be an afatuma. The guy who's walking on it, kicking up a stone, Durabonon. Remember, it's all Durabonon. Remember, it's rabbinic. It's no
biblical. Didn't we just say the earth can't contaminate the earth yesterday? Remember,
no.
Remember, two fields mixed together. This earth can't contaminate that earth. It can't.
We're going to talk about that case. It's a regular Beis HaPras.
I know.
A Beis HaPras is Matame B'mago Mamasa.
Right.
The guy kicked up some of the earth. He may have moved a pebble, a piece of bone, a barley corn bone.
But
that's not the cases we were dealing with yesterday.
If his shoes are on, it doesn't matter?
It doesn't. Then his shoes become tummy. And then he becomes tummy through that, right? So what you have to say that the guy atop his Torah, there's a number of garments or layers on top of the person carrying him. So it gets to the point, it only can go so many degrees, and by the time it gets to you, there's no degrees of tumah.
If he's wearing a lot of garments, he's being a lot of
there's,
high
there's no degrees of tumah. But if the, if but if, even if there's a lot of degrees, but your weight causes the pebble to move, then you are already moving it. Regardless, remember movement, you don't have to be touching. Remember movement?
Right.
Let's say this is the bone. I got lots of bears, I'm still moving it. So if your weight is added on, and it's consideration, the guy wasn't so strong, as we'll see in a minute, you'd be tummy ready for just moving it. Durabana, right? But now, so but let the guy carrying you is tummy. So if he has, let's say, a couple shirts or whatever over him, so there's different layers, so by the time the tumma would get to you, you'd be like a fourth level tumma design there. That's the point. This is, that's the detail that must exist for you to be completely tar. So you could be a second degree tumma or something like that, depending on the nature of what's going on over there. Yes, sir.
No, but just the guy's added weight onto the guy who's a little bit weaker. At the end of the day, the guy is
if he's weaker?
The guy carrying is weaker, so the added weight makes a difference. But the guy on top is not, he's not causing, it's the guy's, he's not causing him to kick
it is, it is. It's corner. His weight is part of,
the
two of them
part of the pressure. It's part of the anyway. Pressure. Of the,
because the pressure is weighing down.
Yeah.
And therefore, when the guy's walking and he's kicking, that his weight is part of the equation. That's what we're saying.
It's relevant to the
guy's less than 200 pounds, we count to
but if you wait another couple lines, Ram will describe what has to be exactly. I'm just going to give you very clear definitions here. So, but anyway, so it's possible for you to be, as they say, airlifted across, right? And or if there's good solid stones that don't move, you will be tar.
Or
you're ball. But on the other hand, let's go to the part where you're going to be tummy now. If you're walking on stones that shake when you're walking on them, so they could be touching something else. Even though he thinks he was careful, he thinks Veloni's not, and he thinks he didn't move it, but we see afterwards those were shaky stones. That guy's tummy, rabbinically. Just if he went on the dirt itself.
Whoa.
Similarly, goes on a weak person. How do we know how weak he is? Clear. At the point that his knees...
They're buckling.
No shows, exactly. So they buckle because of the weight on that. Vishoka Maritas and his thighs are trembling because you know somebody carries them. That we know this weight is really bearing on him. Unless you have an animal that's not a very healthy or strong animal, same thing. And what does the animal do to show it's weak? Believe it or not, he excretes. That's, I guess the Rambam knows, one of the signs that the dog...
Not for the human, though.
No, the animal is excreting. He's tummy. It's as if he went with his own feet, and he's creating masa, not maga. He's creating the weight that is the impetus to move it. So now we have complete understanding of when and how you can go through a basic process. Okay, very good. Now, let's say you have a basic process. Okay, now that's not a good thing to own a basic process because you can't do a lot of things with it. Is there a way that you can change the zoning laws? In other words... Somebody, whoever it was, plowed this grave, and they got a base of pros. So it's now zoned as a base of pros. Called BP. Base of pros. Okay? Now, you'd like to rezone it into a tahor field. Can you take a base of pros and make it tahor? So let's just think in our own minds. Before we look at the Rambam, what would it take?
Money.
Okay.
You have to get rid of the barley corns. I mean, somehow.
Okay. So how can you get rid of the barley corns? You don't know where they are. So what? Let's think it through. You'll figure it out on your own. What do you got to do?
Bulldozer.
Okay. But what do you have to bulldoze?
The topsoil of the earth.
Yes. How much of the topsoil?
Three tefachim.
So somehow you've got to remove three tefachim from the entire field.
Top layer.
Or there's another solution. Think out of the box now. without having to bulldoze anything. Think of another...
Put another earth on top of it.
Put another layer of three tvachim on top. Fresh topsoil. That would do the trick, too. Yeah. Think of another solution.
I think we have to think out of the
box. You're doing good, son. If you would have stalled out at first, I wouldn't ask you for more. You're doing good. How about...
You can pave the whole thing.
That's it. Those are the three main. Rama's going to say five, but it's basically these three. Okay, good. You got 60%.
But then you can't use it for agriculture. Like, I mean, put up a parking lot or something. But
no, you can put buildings
you could
on
make
top
a parking
of
lot. Lot.
That's what I'm saying.
You can put a building on top of it.
Or you could... Well, if you want to plant, you'd be putting more topsoil. I guess from a financial perspective, I think more topsoil is cheaper than cement, I'm guessing.
Yeah.
So if you want to plant, just put it on, just bring the bulldozers with lots of fresh sand and topsoil. It'll be amazing for you. That's basically a lucky basis. Hamatar base apras, if you want to purify a base apras, but there's one thing you have to have before any of this. You need rabbinical supervision.
Whoa.
You have to call the CORN.
Whoa.
Sarach letaro, you have to purify it. Bemamid, Shnei, Talmidich, two rabbis who know what they're doing and won't let you cut corners.
Whoa.
Okay. The case of Dr. Haki, the Taro, it says, Rabbi's going to give you five. It's really four, but it's five, whatever. Number one, Kones es kolha, for gather all the sand, Shiyochel lehasito, that you can move all the loose soil that's on the top. Okay, whatever is loose and you can, that you can move. Me'al kol p'nei aser, from the face of the field. V'nosa l'toch kvara. But then what are you going to do with that sand, though? Wait a minute. What do you do with that sand? That, where are you going to put it?
Cemetery.
All that's not so simple. It's a long distance to carry a lot of sand. All that sand may have bones in it, right?
Put it
so
in a
what
hole.
Do you do? You just put it
in
adjacent to your field. And now, v'nosa l'toch kvara, now sift through it. With a sifter that has thin holes. And now spread out the earth on top of it. And remove all the bones. And now it is fine. And now what could you do with that sand? Put it right back down. That's why you need the two rabbis. You know, just like you check for bugs. You know, check for bugs. You lose your patience after 5 minutes. Imagine you, how hard it was just to check for bugs on leaf. Go check for barley corn bones on a field that's 10,000 square amas and checking every little piece of dirt. But that's what you need the two rabbis for, I'm sure.
See if they do that.
But you got to be careful. So you're talking about a small barley corn. It's a small thing. So you just sift through it. There's got to be something there because there was a grave there. And then you can just keep the sand you have.
That's what you said before.
So this is what we call the labor-intensive solution. Okay, but that's solution number one. That will work.
But with respect to, I guess, what we said before, the soil doesn't become tummy from touching the...
It's earth. The earth is never tame.
That's what we said before.
So once you remove it, you could be tame.
You would be tame.
But you go to the mikveh. That's all. Go to the mikveh afterwards. Right? Number 2. Or if you fill the whole field with a new level of topsoil, that's 3 tvachim high. Because you will not come in contact with the bones. Or remove 3 tvachim from the entire area. See, that's different than the first solution. The first solution was not removing 3 tvachim, removing any soil that's movable. So it could be less or more, depending on the nature of the earth that's over there. Some areas could be very hard right at the top.
But if you remove the top 3, what do you do with that soil? It's still got barley corn in it.
No, you're sifting it.
That's the first process.
Well, you can either just remove it and not do anything, or here he's sifting through it. I mean, why have 3 tvachim? It depends on the nature which would have more. It depends a lot of things. But we know a base of process not metame lower than 3 tvachim.
That's it.
I understand. So what do you do with that without sifting?
Then you can do whatever. Then that's your option. Throw it out. The point we're saying is like this. Once you're below 3 tvachim, there's nothing to be concerned about. So if you've lowered the level by 3 tvachim, it's out.
You don't want to place it somewhere else. Cause
but if you want to put it back, then you'd have to sift it.
Because it's going to make someone else's field tummy if you put it somewhere else.
That's right. So it's an issue. So we're only dealing with the field. We're not dealing with the collateral issues here.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, Hareza Tar. That also be Tar. That's third solution. Fourth is a combination of two of them above. You take half of each. Or if not, okay. Yeah. Or if you take one half the field, you remove three tefachim of soil on half of the field. Bring a new three tefachim on the other half of the field. So you're going to have a six tefach drop in your field. Let's say all you have is three. Let's say you don't want to bother sifting, and you only can come across half of the new topsoil.
So remove half.
So remove half on one side and add half to the other side. So it's a combination of two solutions, but that's the fourth solution. Now we're going to have two solutions that are not good solutions. Not al mechetz yo echad. Let's say you take from one half. One second. I said that already. Next one. Not al me'al panav tefach u'metzel. What if you only took a one and a half tefachim off? And then the they put one and a half from a new spot. Doesn't help because you haven't gone down to the three tefach level. It's a lot of work. Doesn't help. Loss of klum. That's nothing.
What, you've done what? It says you removed.
You removed one and a half tefachim, yeah, so you're not down enough,
right?
And you put brand new soil of one and a half.
So it's
one,
three.
But well, no, but it's not three deep.
Right.
The problem is, the first one and a half won't be a problem, but we always have the word going down to three, and you haven't solved the second one and a half.
You didn't take away that first one and a half.
That's right.
It's
the same thing. No better off.
No better off.
Okay. How about another situation? V'chein, and similarly, is also not going to be good. Im azako. Azako means removing large stones. You got rid of the big stones, and then you eyeballed it. Ubadak bishas izuk. And you checked with your eyes as you're removing the stones, milmatel mala, from below to above, and said, I don't see any more bones.
What?
Loss of clue. That's nothing. There's going to be a lot of rocks, but you weren't particular about the little areas in between. Doesn't help at all. I don't know what the chiddush there is. Right. And finally, number five is the other solution we came up with. Now we're going back to what is good. Ritzaf above, you pave it with stones. Shem said that don't move at all. Big blocks. You just put a whole bunch of blocks, like you tile the driveway.
It doesn't matter how
you
big
not tile
it
you.
You put interlocking.
You interlock your
field,
your thing, and they don't move. Now it doesn't have to be three tefachim of interlock.
Right,
it could be whatever, any amount,
as long as
they don't move. So then it won't move the bones below. They're not going to move because people walk in. I raise a Torah that is also Tahor. The end of chapter 10. We move on to chapter 11. New topic. And the new topic is the next rabbinic decree of land outside of Israel.
Oh, it's all Tuma.
We said Toronto.
Tuma.
Everybody. Rabbinic Tuma. Period.
No.
Just as much.
West Mountain.
Okay. So now we're going to discuss exactly what is the Tumah of Chutz Laaretz. That is the nature of this entire chapter. So let's just get a little start over here. Eretz HaGoyim, the lands of the non-Jews. Right? Remember, this is one of the 18 decrees that the days when Shammai had more students than Hillel. They made 18 decrees, and this is one of them, of the lands outside of Israel. Now, the reason I made the decree in general was because outside of Israel, they weren't careful about burying the dead properly.
Jews?
Well, no. That's not good. Remember,
but
non-Jews.
Jews outside Israel.
Non-Jews give off which tumah?
Maga Masa,
not Ohel.
Right.
So non-Jews can give tumah. If you touch them, you move them, you're also going to
have tumah. No, but when he's saying outside of Eretz Yisrael, does it mean...
It means the Goyim aren't careful of burying Goyim. Plain and simple.
But Jews outside Israel are careful.
It doesn't matter. We couldn't care less.
Okay.
The issue is Goyim aren't careful about it. You walk on Goyish land, there are going to be bones all over the place that you're not aware of. Tumas maga. Now, we don't know for sure. So the rabbis said we don't like going there because it could have that kind of tumah. And that the only concern is goyim buried there. So there initially, the initial decree, we're going to see it changed shortly.
Mm-hmm.
But the days of Beis Hillel, Shammai won over, and he was the strict one. So he made the decree that now all of outside Eretz Yisrael were concerned there's goyish bones around, and it'll be tamei tumah. And we gave you a rabbinic tumah of maga and masa.
So kohanim shouldn't live outside of Israel,
right?
According to
Shammai.
According to what the... Listen, it's a rabbinic tumah, though. But whatever, yeah. Bilvad... Okay, so again, But so that decree. So Eretz Goyim Batchila Gazru Al Gusha Bilvad. The only decreed on the earth, the land, the soil alone. To base apras, just like a base apras. Same idea. The metame, the earth. You move the earth. You touch the earth, right? V'hayu metameim ela hamahalech ba. You only could be metame a person who's in chuzaretz if he walks on it and thereby kicking up dirt. O no gea, or he just touches the dirt. O no se, or moves me'afar of its dirt. So that's pretty much like a base apras.
Right.
There's no ohel by base apras either.
No.
So that's just started off. But then the rabbis, a little bit later, kicked up the ante of the Tumah. And Chazra goes over here. Then they also made a lighter degree of Tumah, which will be explained in the later halachas, that even the ohel, the airspace, will give off Tumah as well. Now, for those of you who remember, and none of us do, back to chapter 3, Halacha 2, I didn't remember. The Rambam wrote earlier that the non-Jewish land is not metame bohel.
Right.
But over here he's saying later on they were metame bohel right now, so what's going on? So the commentary say over there, it's talking about where he took land from Chutz La'aretz and brought it into Eretz Yisrael. It took a clod of land from Chutz La'aretz, put it in Eretz Yisrael. It will still be matama b'maga b'masa, but not tumas oil. But Rambam here is going to say, in Chutz La'aretz, they did add in a secondary tuma of ohel, was a later decree. We'll see how much, not like normal ohel, much less severe. And they said, Shiatam will give tuma, v'yafabli shalong alos, even though he didn't touch it, didn't carry it. And now though, even but now since it's a real chumra, it's a chumra on top of a chumra, they didn't treat it like regular tumas oil. Regular tumas oil, how much of you, your body has to be over that oil? A little bit. You don't need a lot, just a little bit. Here they were much more lenient. You have to have a lot more over it to be matama b'ohel. Ella kevin shehichnis rosh harum. You need your head and most of your body to be over it, which is way more than the normal. Normally you need much less. So it's going to be harder to contract this tumas ohel. Lavier is going over the land of the goyim. Nitma, then you can become tameh. So that's sort of a leniency as to regular tumas oihel, which needs much any part of the body. So you need more to be tameh here. V'chein kli cheres yichnes avir l'aretz goyim. What about earthenware that has now been over the airspace of the non-Jewish world? Even though you don't put the most of it in there, l'aretz goyim ushar came out of the utensils shechinis room where you need most of them. Okay, so kli cheres doesn't need most, but others need most. Ushar came zumrum lavir zayt nitma artame. Okay, and so that becomes a little less more lenient as well.
But does that mean the first time a baby is taken over a piece of grass?
Yeah, it's tummy. Yeah, we all have tumas. That's what we have. It's a rabbinic tuma. Okay, halacha base. Let's just do another leniency. Now, let's talk about that air tumah, that tumas oil. You're going to see. Now, normal tumas oil. You're in a house with a dead corpse. How long are you tummy for? What are you and what tumah do you have and what? How long are you tummy? Normal house.
Tumas oil.
You're an avatumah. You, yeah. In yeah. That. You are an avatumah. And you need red heifer, everything.
Yeah.
7 days. So this is much less degree because, remember, it's rabbinic. Tumas aver es goyim, the tumah that comes by being over the airspace of non-Jewish land, losos of tumas afara, it's not like the tumah of the dirt. The rabbinic tumah of touching the dirt, and that makes it rabbinically an avatumah, makes it tummy for 7 days, rabbinically. Elakali, it's much less. Why? Shal tumas afara, if you're dealing with the tumah of the dirt, the magal masa, and let's say you touch some truma. With that, then sorfin truma, we burn the truma and kachin. Rabbinically, we burn them. If you touch the gland of the goyim and then you touch some truma, burn it. But v'hamistame binose, and also someone who becomes tame by carrying some of the dirt himself. For example, he himself tame tuma shivis, tame 7 days, regular. You have to be sprinkling it a paraduma third and seventh day. That's the regular earth tumah. Avala nitma ba'avir. But if it's air tuma, in this case, ain't tzarech hazayir shlishi v'shi. You don't need to have waters of this paraduma sprinkled on the third and seventh. You're not even tamei 7 days. Ela tefila, you only have to go to the mikvah that day that you walked over it. Vaharif shemesh, and the sun to set. So a very low level tuma, even though there is a tumas ohel, so to speak, but it's a relatively small one. V'chein truma v'kachim shenit machzer. What if you carry truma or kachim over the airspace?
That's it.
It's not that you burn it, but tong, we suspend it, which means lo'olhi can't eat it, and they're having a little sore from it. You can't burn it, so what do? Wait till it rots. And they have to do that.
Beit Shammai was before Churban Beit HaMikdash? They were around before?
Yeah.
This is their descendants.
It could have been. What's the difference?
Because they're talking about Truma. If there's not a Beit HaMikdash, if they're making all these...
Then let's say it is.
All right.
It is.
Okay. Hillel was an early Tana.
But Beit Shammai could be generated.
Okay, whatever. Halachos Utsnogia for Tuma and that. Okay, we'll stop it over there. Here's the critical question. The next earliest time we could convene would be next Wednesday.
Yeah, we were just talking about that.
And the fast, we're going to daven mincha at 2 o'clock.
Yeah.
Marv at 9:15.
Yeah.
And break the fast at 8.
So 7:47.
Okay, so you want to do Rambam that night or not?
No way.
I am okay.